This is Fine Art Insights with Michael Rose. So welcome to episode number 3 of Fine Art Insights. Yet again, I've been remiss in doing this on the timeline that I originally said I would. And I've had a few complaining emails and text messages and notes about me not sticking to the 2-week timeline that I had originally suggested, but I'm going to do my best, and hopefully you all will bear with me and be patient. On today's episode, I thought I'd talk about juried exhibitions, which is something I get a lot of questions about from artists, and some other housekeeping things going on are that I just posted a new article on my blog at michaelrosefineart.com about one of my favorite Van Gogh paintings, which is The Night Cafe, which is at Yale, and I saw over the summer again, and so I wrote a piece on that for my blog. And then another housekeeping sort of thing is that on Friday, October 25th at 2 p.m., I'm going to be speaking about art galleries and the gallery-artist relationship at the Boston International Fine Art Show. And the information for that is on my social media, and I'll probably repost it on my website again soon. But if you have questions about that, you can email or message me. So the first question that we have to answer when talking about juried exhibitions is, what is a juried exhibition? And there's a whole bunch of ways that organizations do juried exhibitions, and they are so popular now, and it seems like every organization is, you know, some organizations are doing multiple juried shows a year, and they're all over the country, and they're also online, or they're not even an exhibition, but a juried book or a juried magazine or things like that. You know, there's all these different opportunities that use that term of a juried exhibition or the format of a juried exhibition. Historically, I think probably the most famous example of what a juried exhibition is was probably the French salons that went on beginning in the 18th century all the way up through the 19th century. And in the 19th century is probably when they were most famous and most well-regarded and you know, produced things like the Salon du Refusé, where many artists who are now really respected were exhibited in sort of a shunted off exhibition space because they weren't accepted to the actual salon. So they were in the Salon du Refusé. So that's probably the historically the sort of most famous example. And they've continued going on all throughout history, even after the decline of the French salon. Lots of places have continued doing them. And now it just seems like every organization has a juried show of some kind. And I think for artists, it's probably not easy to discern what goes on in a juried show. I think a lot of artists have questions about how a juror or juries do what they're doing in selecting shows and in what the pros and cons of being part of a juried show are. So first of all, a juried show is an exhibition or an exhibition opportunity like a book or magazine or something in which a call for entry is put out, and then a juror or a jury of individuals selects the work that goes into the show. And then usually, or sometimes, there are also monetary prizes. And those are sometimes, maybe there's one juror for the whole show, and that person not only selects the work that gets into the show, but also selects the prizes. Or other times, there might be a jury to get into the show, and then a prize judge who picks the prizes. They take all different formats, so it is sort of hard to describe one kind of quintessential experience of what a juried show is like. And then once the show is selected, Usually there's one venue for a juried show. Maybe your local art association has one, or larger organizations do them as well. And typically it's just a one venue exhibition. Typically they don't move around for the most part. Typically it's, you know, a 1 month show at your local art association, juried by a notable artist or art gallery person or professor, something like that, either in the region or more nationally or internationally. You know, that can vary quite a bit as well. So the basic template is an organization puts out a call for entry, and the call for entry or the call for art describes maybe a theme for the show. Some shows have themes, some shows don't. And then within the call for entry, they describe who the juror or the jury is, and there's typically a fee as well. So the fees range pretty wildly. I've seen juried shows that charge $5 or $10 for an entry, and I've seen other juried shows that charge $50 or $60 for an entry. So that's something we can talk about as well. That's sort of all over the place. And then typically there are prizes, and you get to exhibit in a notable location of some kind. And the shows can range. Some juried shows are up for 3 weeks, some are up for a month, some are up for multiple months. So that is also something that can vary a little bit. And like I said, these opportunities are all over the country and internationally as well. And they are so diverse that it's really important when considering whether to apply to an open juried show or a juried show of any kind to really think about what your goals are if you're an artist, and to see how certain shows would dovetail into what your goals are and how being a part of a juried show would enhance your resume or enhance your ability to share your work with new and different audiences, including the jury, but also including the types of people who go to the show and who see the show and who are in the area where the show is happening. So the first thing that comes when thinking about applying to a juried show is reading the call for entry that goes along with an exhibition. So the organization will put out a call for entry, or sometimes called a call for art. And I've seen them be, you know, a little bit unspecific, and I've seen other calls for entry that are 5 pages long with the specifications and the sort of legalese that goes along with being a part of an exhibition anywhere. And just as an example, I manage the galleries at the Providence Art Club, and the Providence Art Club does one big national open juried exhibition every year. And our call for entry typically is no more than 2 pages. And what the call for entry basically will state is it will talk about, typically we'll talk about the organizing institution or the organizing venue and where it is and what it is and what's it about. Second, it will talk about the show itself. What is the theme of the show? It will talk about eligibility. It will say what type of artists are eligible for the show. So for instance, maybe it's a show that's just for artists who are 30 and under. Maybe it's a show that is just focused on women artists or some other subgroup or something. So it'll talk about who's eligible. Next, it will talk about what type of work is eligible. So if it's a show that's just for printmakers, for instance, it will talk about what forms of printmaking are acceptable. Some open shows are just for photographers or for sculptors, or, you know, some are medium specific. And then it will talk about the specifics of the exhibition length and things like what types of prizes are being awarded. Are there monetary prizes? Are they, you know, just prizes of recognition? Or maybe sometimes organizations give out prizes that are sponsored by a specific brand like Jerry's or Blick or something like that. And it might be a prize in the form of a gift certificate to Blick or Jerry's or your local art supply place. And then they will talk about the sort of specifications that go along with the exhibition, how work should be prepared, when work should be delivered, how work should be delivered, and what size the work should be, or whatever. So when considering applying to an open show or a juried show of any kind, I would really encourage people who are artists to really read the call for entry diligently and carefully and read every line of it and make sure you understand what's expected of you. Because I've definitely seen artists who submitted work to juried shows that wasn't even eligible in the first place to be in the show. And now they've paid to submit their work, which isn't eligible to the show. And sometimes eligibility issues can be impacted by, you know, the date the work was made, for instance. So the juried shows that we run at the Providence Art Club, for instance, typically we say work has to be 4 years old or less. Sometimes we've said 2 years old or less. And I've seen artists submit work that was 10 years old and wasn't eligible to begin with because of its age. Or issues with theme can be a little more nuanced, because if the theme is nature or something, you know, more of a vague theme, then somebody submitting a painting of New York City at rush hour, maybe to some of us that doesn't seem like it fits the theme of nature, but that sort of issue would be more up to the judge. It's not such a hard and fast rule about whether that is suitable or not. Then the other components to really read carefully are things like insurance. Let's say you get into the show, you know, you put in your entry, you get accepted, you deliver your work to the venue, and it breaks or falls off the wall or gets damaged in some way during the installation or something. You really want to read the call for entry, and hopefully that's covered in the call for entry. If it's not covered in the call for entry, it should definitely be covered in any kind of contractual agreement that the venue sends you. But the sort of specific things like that, you really want to be aware of what's going on and things like that. Another thing to be aware of when you're reading the call for entry is, what kind of commission does the venue take? Should your work sell? Can you submit work that's not for sale or that belongs to a private collection? That happens sometimes. Those are questions that come up. But you really want to make sure you understand what are the, you know, real specifications involved in this call for entry. What is expected of you as the artist? And what is expected of the venue? And what is the venue offering you in terms of, you know, insurance coverage or, you know, care for your work or whatever. Now, most venues offer a really minimal amount of anything, honestly. You know, they're putting together their show, they're putting on the show. Juried shows do cost money, obviously. You know, if they're giving out cash prizes, that's costing money. The venue is costing money. Typically, a juror is paid an honorarium, so that's costing money. And, you know, they have to pay the staff to put the show on, so that's costing money. So venues are less and less and less inclined to really put out much of anything in terms of other incentives besides the prizes for people to be in these shows. You know, for instance, it will probably say in the specifications that you are responsible to pay for the shipping to and from the venue. That is completely common now. I don't know of a whole lot of venues that offer to pay for the shipping to them and from them, unless maybe in some circumstances, some juried shows do have a couple invited artists, maybe, or, you know, there might be invited artists. Some places do that, not all places do that. But perhaps if you're the invited artist, they might pay for your shipping. In some circumstances, if the juror is themselves an artist, the venue may pay to ship the juror's work to and from as an additional incentive for the juror to share work in the show. But for the most part, many venues don't offer a lot of incentive beyond that. The other thing to really read carefully is, you know, number one, what is the price of submitting an entry to the show? And then, is there a discount of some kind for submitting more than one piece? So let's say if you submit one, it's $25. If you submit two, it's, you know, $20 per piece rather than the $25 per piece or something like that. And in situations where the organization is a member-based organization, like an art association or an art cooperative of some kind, they typically offer some kind of a discount for being a member of that organization. So some arts associations, you know, the annual dues are $50 or less. So in some circumstances, if it's an expensive show and membership in the organization isn't that expensive, then it might make sense for you to become a member of the organization. But that's something on a real sort of case-by-case basis. But calls for entries can be dense. They can be long. So my recommendation to artists is always really read the specs carefully. Within the call for entry, it will also usually have specifications about image quality. The vast majority of juried shows now have, at least as some component of the jurying process, a digital component. So you really want to have high quality images of your work that you're submitting. I've juried either individually or been on the juries of a number of shows. And out of all the shows that I've juried or been involved in jurying or overseen, I've only been involved with one that did it sort of quote unquote the old fashioned way, where they bring the work in front of you and you see all the entries. Typically, for the most part, jurors are seeing the work digitally. And so that makes photos more important than ever. And it means that you really need to have high quality images of the work that you're submitting. So in some circumstances, you know, if it's a high profile show and there's big prize money involved, it might be worth paying to have your work photographed professionally so that it presents as well as it can. And then your photographer would know how to size the work to meet the specifications of the call for entry that you're reading. one of the other things to be really considerate of is any, you know, rules and regulations about preparation. You know, if an organization tells you that a work has to be wired or they're not going to install it, that means it has to be wired or they're not going to install it. In all of the calls for entry that I put out, I always say, I'm pretty specific in the types of installation we require, but I include in the calls for entries that I produce a little bit of an out, which is that if you're an artist who has special installation needs or something like that, you can always contact me in advance and ask if it would be acceptable and if we would install it. But otherwise, we try to be specific in what we're looking for. And I constantly have works that show up that aren't really prepared properly. It makes it really rough on the organizing institution. And then from a sort of safety perspective, if something is not, for instance, wired securely and it falls off the wall and breaks, typically if I feel that it's going to be a danger that's going to fall off the wall, I will contact the artist and tell them it has to be remedied before we install it. But in other organizations, they may not make a point to call the artist in advance. And if the thing falls off the wall and breaks and it's clearly because the wire was not stable, then that may not be covered in you know, any insurance they're providing for you. And if the organization isn't providing insurance, let's say that you have a work where your retail price on the work is $5,000 or something, it may be worth you getting a rider on your home or your car insurance to make sure that your work is protected while it's in the venue or while it's in transit or whatever. It's always worth getting the extra insurance on your shipping in order to get it there safely. But reading the call for entry carefully is really, really important, I think. Really understanding what the venue is looking for, what the theme is, who the jurors are. It really gives you a better sense of, number one, whether it's worth your time to apply, but also gives you a really good sense of what the venues are looking for. And I really like very specific calls for entry that really outline, you know, what the role of the artist is, what the responsibility of the artists are, what the work should be like, should look like, any size restrictions, age restrictions, medium restrictions. All of those things should really be covered in the call for entry. And it should be a tool that you can use to decide if you want to apply to the show or not. The next issue I think that's of most interest to people, after sort of the general things that are brought up in the call for entry, is who is the juror or who are the people that are on the jury. And this is something that ranges all over the place. You know, for a local, you know, smaller local organization, the juror might be just, you know, a well-known local artist of some kind, where for larger organizations, typically the juror tends to be better, you know, at a higher sort of level. So at the Providence Art Club, for instance, we've gotten the chief curator of the National Museum of Women in the Arts. We've gotten the chair of the American Wing at the Museum of Fine Arts Boston. And we've worked with other people of that sort of caliber. So I would say that something like our show is on the sort of higher end. And then other shows are juried by more local people, local gallery people, or local art people. But that's something I think that's always of a lot of interest to artists. Whenever we get a juror who is of, you know, a higher profile, we tend to get a lot more applications in the shows that I've worked on. And I hope that when organizations ask me, for instance, to be a juror or on a panel of jurors, that they see an interest because of what my background is from certain types of artists, or, you know, it can vary. So what type of experiences do jurors bring to what they're doing? If someone is looking at it as an artist, they bring an artist point of view. If they come to it as a gallery professional or as a dealer or something, they bring that point of view. And if they come to it as a museum professional, they bring a different point of view. So I think that's definitely a big consideration for a lot of people. And I've seen that in artists. And I know that artists are always interested in the jurors and sort of what they're bringing to it. The considerations on the organizational side of things when they're looking at who to bring in as a juror pair into, you know, what the theme of the show might be. So we did a show at the Providence Art Club, and the theme was America Now, you know, the American experience. And so we were able to get the chair of the American Wing at the Museum of Fine Arts Boston, which is one of the best American wings in the country, and it just happens to be sort of near us in Boston. And I think because of the theme, we were able to get the chair of that department to come, and I saw a lot of interest in a lot of artists in getting their work in front of a woman who was a really notable curator and someone who had built up the American department at the Museum of Fine Arts Boston, and who had been responsible for, at least in part responsible for, the building of this beautiful new American wing that they've had there since the early 2000s. So that's sort of one example. Another example is, if you're someone who's an illustrator, for instance, maybe you would really like for your work to be seen by a fellow notable illustrator. If you're a ceramic person, maybe a professor of ceramics at a high-profile ceramics department would be of interest to you, for you to have your work in front of. It's really highly dependent on what kind of an artist you are and how, you know, you feel your work would best be viewed by someone. When I, you know, give my bio personally to an organization that I'm jurying for, I talk about being a gallery person, and I have a pretty broad expertise basically. So I can look at a whole variety of things with sort of an even hand. I like to think I can anyway. And so I think sometimes when smaller organizations are looking for someone who's sort of general, they might look for someone like me. Where if a larger organization is looking for someone with some specific curatorial or research background, you know, maybe the theme is women in the arts. In that case, we had a show about women in the arts at the Providence Art Club, and we were able to get the curator of the National Museum of Women in the Arts, which was really a perfect fit, and she was a great juror. So that's something where I think artists are really interested in, you know, learning about jurors. If the call for entry doesn't provide a really thorough bio of your juror, then you can always, you know, you can look everybody up. And whatever museum they're with or organization might have their bio, or you can go on LinkedIn or whatever, and you can learn more about what their sort of extended background is. So, for instance, when we had the chair of the American Wing at the Museum of Fine Arts Boston, her bio talked a lot about her broad experience with American art, but also her experience as an administrator building up this incredible collection at the Museum of Fine Arts Boston. And it did indicate that she had worked at the Met prior to the MFA, and that at the Met she had worked in prints and drawings. But the extent to which she worked in prints and drawings wasn't really all that well known to me. But when she juried the show, she picked one print in particular by a local artist in Rhode Island. And when we had the sort of opening night and the dinner, the juror attended the dinner and happened to be seated with me and with this artist who was a printmaker. And the juror talked sort of at length about her print experience and how much she liked the print by this artist because of her print experiences at the Met. And she shared some really interesting anecdotes about prints that she had worked with at the Met and really how interested in printmaking she was, which was something that you wouldn't have necessarily gotten from her resume, but something that was sort of in her background a little bit. So looking at jurors is, I think, really important. I really encourage artists to go for juried shows, you know, because there are so many of them and because they cost money to enter. Go for shows where your work is going to be seen by someone of some kind of note, I think is important. And in a in smaller juried shows where maybe the price to enter isn't so much, maybe it's not so important, but if you're putting out a lot of money to have your work seen by someone, I think ultimately who the juror is or who's on the jury panel is really important. And that is ultimately going to be one of the sort of resume builder things that comes out of being a part of any kind of juried show, is that you can say, I was in a show that was juried by Dr. So-and-so, who's the head of the modern and contemporary department at the Met, or something like that. You know, that's an incredible thing to be able to add to your resume. And it's a great thing to add to your resume, not just for other exhibition opportunities, but also if you're ever applying to a gallery and you have juried shows on your resume, I find that shows like that are somewhat more impressive. If you're an artist who's just beginning to sort of dip your toe in the water of doing these juried shows, then going through your local arts association and maybe working up from a more local juror to someone more regional and then someone more national, I think that's a good goal to have. But learning about jurors is good. And then and learning their background, you'll know if the type of work that you're doing is of interest to them. If it's a juror whose expertise is in nautical painting or something like that, and you happen to be a nautical painter or a painter who works on marine subjects, then you'll know that that juror is a good fit for you and is a good fit for the work you do. And it enhances the opportunity you might have of sharing your work and of them seeing your work and picking your work out of a lineup. Because ultimately, a lot of juried shows will get hundreds of entries, hundreds and hundreds of entries. And standing out to a juror is sometimes a matter of your work being something that's of direct interest to them, not necessarily being something flashy, but being something that they can directly relate to, or that, you know, their biography shows that they have an interest in. And getting your work in front of a high quality juror and then getting into the show is obviously a confidence boost. I know that. And I know that I've seen a lot of artists who are really happy to be in shows where the juror was somebody of note. Then once you're in the show, if you get in the show, typically in a lot of situations, the juror might be at the opening, or they might attend some kind of a reception, or they might give a talk about what their jurying process was. That's a possibility too. So then there's that added opportunity to meet the juror, learn more about why they picked what they picked, and how your work factors into what they picked and why they selected it and put it in the show. Or, you know, that's just one sort of added incentive about how these things can work. But I think reading closely about the juror, having a really good understanding about who the juror or jurors are, and really making a decision about if your work is a good fit for what that type of person might be looking for, is an important step when reading these calls for entry and deciding if certain shows are appropriate for you or if you're excited to enter a certain show. So then once you've read about the juror or jurors, the panel of people, and decided if you're going to apply or not, the next issue, I think, is really making sure that you show your application off in the best possible way. And part of that is understanding what the jury process is in a lot of these situations. So like I said earlier, most of these jury shows now, if they're not completely juried digitally, then at least some component of the jurying process is digital. And like I said, I've been on the juries of shows. I've been the single juror for different shows. And in many situations, it's at least partially digital. There's sort of another category of being just the prize judge for a show that isn't really juried, but is like in an art association. That is typically done in person because the show's hung on the wall and you go and you look at the show and pick prizes out of what's on the wall. Not long ago, I was on a three-person jury of a show at a sort of large local, regional New England arts organization. And the people that were on the jury, there were either three or four of us, never met one another. We didn't talk to one another. We did the entire jurying online. And basically what determined whether a work got into the show or not was, you know, a majority vote, basically. So if three out of the four people voted for it, it was in. If it was tied, it went into a second round or a third round. You know, there were different rounds of how the judging went. And then we had to make sure that we had enough work, but not too much work. So there were some complications in that. The other the sort of, you know, old-fashioned way, I guess you would call it, of doing it, is that people go to the organization, they pay their fee, they drop off all the works they're submitting, that might be one, it might be 10, in person to the organization, and then the jurors convene in person and are shown the work in person in order to pick the works that go through. So I was on a jury recently for an organization that did it the old-fashioned way, which is really interesting to experience it that way rather than to do it in this sort of digital environment, because you get to see all the pieces in person. You had a better understanding of texture and size and scale and preparation, and if it was, you know, framed nicely and all those sort of things, which you don't get at all in doing it digitally. In a digital situation, you don't see the frame, you don't see how it's matted or what kind of glass is used. You only see a picture of the work and hopefully a good photo of the work, but only a photo. But in this situation, the three jurors who are on this panel sat in sort of cubicles where we couldn't see each other, and work was brought up in front of us, and we all voted silently up or down, you know, whether we wanted the work or not. And then there were volunteers from the organization there who watched us vote and then said yes or no, and we sort of moved things through in that way. And then the three jurors went around to different sections, and in this organization, different media define how prizes are given. So they'll be the best in, you know, a pastel category, best in a photography category, whatever. And so as we were doing the prizes, then the panel of jurors walked around the space, looked at what we had picked out silently without speaking to one another, and then spoke together to decide who what would get prizes. And one of the interesting things, being on a panel of three or four people who have relatively diverse experiences, in this situation, it was me as a gallery, as an art gallery person in a sort of commercial gallery setting. There was the executive director of a museum, and there was an artist. And so the three of us came to it, I think, from sort of different viewpoints. But as we were going through selecting prize winners, it was really interesting to see that we were all basically on the same page about prize winners. And I think largely we're on the same page about things getting in and not getting in. And there wasn't a lot of discord as we were going through picking things, which was really interesting. It was just sort of a natural kind of progression of the show. So that's sort of one example of how it can go. Another example is, you know, when we're doing shows at the Providence Art Club, we use a system called Call for Entry, which is a really popular online system. And there are a number of other options, but Call for Entry is one of the, you know, really great options. It's administered by an arts organization out west, and a lot of organizations use it. And one of the reasons something like that is nice is because it's really customizable to the types of shows you're doing, and it offers the juror a lot of opportunity to look back at things and to, you know, even to read artist statements or to learn more about different works if they are so inclined. So in that situation, you know, we post the deadline, we say when the work has to be in, and then we try to give the juror as much time as is possible within our schedule. So sometimes for certain shows, I've given the juror a month or 2 months or even 3 months to look at the work, because the people who we're engaging with are quite busy. You know, they might be the chair of the American wing at the MFA, and they might be, you know, selecting works for our show at home or on the weekends or something. So I try to give them as much time as is possible for them. And so what they'll do is they'll go through and they can vote yes, no, maybe in the digital application that we use. In other situations, it's just a yes or a no vote, but sometimes there's a maybe option. And then they can advance items through rounds. So when we go into our national juried show, for instance, I know the space where the show is going to be. I know that that space can only take X amount of objects. And so I say to the juror, I need you to get it down to an absolute maximum of X amount of objects. And so they have a goal to work towards, and they know the theme, and they know, and I've sent them photos of the space and a map of the space, and they can see, you know, how different works might relate to one another within that space. And it is sort of a lot of work, especially if you're a single juror doing it, it can be a lot of work. Or if it's an all-volunteer organization, it can be a lot of work. And it is a process, and it takes some time to sort of go through everything and really give each artwork the kind of consideration that it deserves, because everybody's paying to have their work reviewed, and there's all these sort of things, and you really want to make sure that everybody's getting the time they deserve and the energy they deserve. And so I like to give jurors a good amount of time to look at things. Sometimes if I feel like the juror might have more time to do it, I might, you know, allot less of a jurying period. And then in you know, the situation of the gallery where I work, when it gets to the end of the jurying period, I can sort of watch as the juror is picking works, and I can see on my end, you know, how they're going through it. And then I give the juror sort of a drop-dead date that I need to know what they are going to be picking. And when it gets to midnight on, you know, July 30th, and they have to tell me what they've done, they say on their side that they've completed it, and then I get to look through it. And so then I'll look through it, and if I sense there are going to be any problems, or if maybe they picked a work that was enormous without realizing how big it was, you know, that's something that can sometimes happen. Or if I see that there might be any issues, then I'll bring it up to the juror, or we'll sort of work one-on-one to deal with anything. And as just another sort of aside, in the calls for entry that I put out, we always have a clause that says, if work comes in person, if it is accepted to the show, and it comes in person, and it doesn't look like the photo that was sent to us, or it's not, you know, there's an out that if the work, it doesn't look like the photo that the juror saw in a digital situation, then we have the option to remove it and to not actually exhibit it, even if it was accepted originally. And I think that's a really important thing for organizations to have, because photos can look much better than the work looks in person. I've definitely had situations where I was really surprised when a work came and it just didn't look anything like the photo, like the way I perceived it in the photo. And when those situations come up, I have absolutely run things back by jurors and said, do you actually want this to be in the show? And have taken, you know, more sort of close-up views of it. And typically, I haven't yet had a situation where the juror removes something at that point. And I think the reasons for that are sort of many, but I always like to, you know, keep things on the up and up and give jurors the option to remove things if they feel like the artist misrepresented what the work was going to look like or how it was prepared or whatever. But that's something that only comes up sometimes. For the most part, the vast majority of people submitting things to juried shows are pretty put together, and the image quality is pretty good. Especially now, you can take really good quality photos pretty easily, or you know might have access to a friend or a colleague who's a photographer who can assist you. Typically things are pretty good. So that's sort of the digital side of things, is that sometimes things are done entirely digitally. I know that among a lot of artists, there is some level of discomfort with the fact that so many of these shows are exclusively selected based on photographs, and it can be hard to really understand an artwork from a photograph. You know, obviously the best way to see an artwork is to see it with your own two eyes in person, and you can really get up close to it and understand what the surface is like and sort of qualities that aren't necessarily understandable from a photograph. But in the world in which we live, I think it's important to embrace technology and to use these great resources like something like CAFE or any number of other jurying platforms that are out there, and to use them to the best extent that they can be used. The other reality is that so many organizations are drawn so thin and they're drawing their volunteers so thin that realistically, it doesn't make sense to have artists bring all their work in person and have jurors review work in person. On many levels, that doesn't make sense. One other option that really I don't think happens anywhere anymore is that sometimes organizations used to ask for the old-fashioned slides, you know, the Kodak slides, and you'd send in your slides and they would actually set up, you know, the old carousel projector, and they would sit and project the images for the jurors, and they would say yes or no to a slideshow basically in front of them. And even that had its pitfalls, obviously, because, you know, the slide colors weren't true to life, and, you know, the scale of the slides wasn't true to life, and there were all these issues with that too. So no matter how a show is juried, no matter what the method is that's being used, whether it's a single juror or a panel of jurors, whether it's juried in person or it's juried online or whatever, every conceivable way of doing it has its pitfalls. And I think everybody who's involved in these shows is really doing their best to make sure that the artists who are submitting are being represented well, and that the show is going to be the best that it can be, and that it will represent both the artists who are in it well, and also the juror who is selecting the works well. But I think it is interesting for artists to learn how shows come together and how they're juried and what that process is like. I know artists have a lot of curiosity about that, and sometimes there are conspiracy theories about why certain things get in and why they don't. And I can tell you from working on the back end of many juried shows, both as a juror and as an administrator, sometimes there is an element of dumb luck, probably, but I really think everybody involved in these shows is doing everything they can to make sure that every artist who submits gets equal opportunity to be viewed, and that all the jurors who are involved in these shows are really going into it because they care about either the organization or the mission, or they care about the theme, or they, you know, want to see new art by new artists and want to do the best that they can. So I would say across the board, the processes that are being used are really geared towards creating shows that are the best quality possible. And I think most organizations really are trying to be as fair as they can, with the understanding that people are putting money out and are expecting, you know, that their work is going to be equally seen and stuff like that. So I would say to artists that I think most organizations are doing their best. And the back end can be really interesting. As a juror, it can be very fraught, and you're looking at, you know, 250 artworks, and there are spaces for 25 artworks or something like that. And maybe you don't even have a theme, and they're just asking you to pick, you know, what are your top 25 things out of this group? And your top 25 objects could be different on any day or something. You know, that these things, there are certain subjective qualities to what you're looking at, and then there are certain objective qualities to what you're looking at, and these things can vary, and it can be really tough. So I do hope that as artists are applying to juried shows, they have some patience for the systems in place, and they have patience for the organizations that are putting these things on, and they have patience for the jurors who are giving their time to select the works that go into shows. So, sort of tying it all together, I wanted to talk about what is a juried show, what is a call for entry, who is a juror, and what is the process. I think those are sort of the key things that a lot of people are interested in. The other thing, which is, I guess, more general, is to talk about what are the actual pros and cons of these juried shows. They are so popular now, and they are this huge thing. And I think I said in an earlier episode about galleries that a lot of commercial galleries are now getting into this juried show business, which is sort of interesting. I do think there is something to be said for juried exhibitions. And if you want to, you know, say that I'm biased because I've been a juror and I administrate, you know, I've administered a juried show for several years, I think that's probably fair to some extent. I mean, but I see it on the back end, and I see what goes into it and what the results are for artists, basically. I think there are so many artists now who don't have gallery representation, number one, and not only don't have gallery representation, but are never going to have gallery representation ever in their lives. And there are plenty of artists who are never going to have a solo show at a gallery or even be in a group show at a gallery. So I think one of the key things that juried shows do for artists who get into them, obviously, is they provide artists a broad array of artists from a variety of backgrounds from all over the country. They provide artists at all levels, regardless of education and regardless of gallery patronage or whatever. They afford artists an opportunity to show their work in unique settings and to show their work to jurors who have interesting backgrounds and to connect their work with new audiences, maybe in different places. Maybe you're going to get into a show. Maybe you live in New England and you're going to get into a show in California, and you are going to invest in shipping your work out there and doing all of that. And maybe you do see a value in that. I think ultimately being a part of juried shows and any value that can be discerned from them has to be understood on an individual basis. And you have to pair what your goals are for your art practice to the types of shows and juried opportunities that you're applying to. And if you're someone who's really looking to broaden your scope within your local region, you know, in New England, for instance, there are so many arts organizations and so many juried opportunities and so many chances to show your work in a sort of singular exhibition. I think we're in some ways spoiled, and in some ways, you know, artists have an incredible variety of choices. And in other ways, it makes it hard to know where you should be putting your time and energy and effort. And I've seen some artist resumes that have, you know, over the last 10 years, they've been in 50 different juried shows and they've won prizes in shows and stuff. And so I think if you see that as a key part of what you're doing, then it is worth putting the time in to apply to them. And if you think that your work is a good fit for the theme, or it's a good fit for the juror, or it's a good fit regionally or geographically where you want to be showing your work, then I would say go for it and, you know, try it. The other side of it is that there are a lot of people applying to juried shows, and shows are getting increasingly competitive. And I think it's really important for artists to not take it personally when their work doesn't get accepted, because on the whole, there are going to be a lot more rejections than there are going to be acceptances to a lot of these things. But I would, I guess, encourage people to keep at it, but to be considerate when they're thinking about what to apply to. And a big part of that is following the theme, looking up the jurors, reading about them, understanding who they are and what their background is. Now, is it always easy to understand if a certain person and the theme they've been assigned would match well for your work? Not always, but a lot of times, nowadays especially, there's so many shows that have really specific themes. And if you read the calls for entry, they're very specific in what they're looking for. And if you apply with work that isn't a match for the theme, and if you're not honest with yourself about your work being a match for the theme, then you're doing yourself a disservice by applying for it. In my situation, at the Providence Art Club, when we do our national shows, if it has a theme, usually the theme is a little more open-ended for us because we try not to sort of dovetail people too much into one thing. But if an artist contacts me and asks if their work would be a good fit for the type of show that we're doing, then to some extent I can talk about that and, you know, maybe give them some feedback on what work of theirs might be the best fit. But even for me, even knowing the juror, knowing the theme, knowing the space, knowing how the juror might select things, I can't be sure of how a juror is going to feel about certain work. And I've had shows where I looked through the work that was submitted and I was certain that, you know, a painting by this person was going to get in, and then it didn't. And it didn't get in. And not only did it not get in, but the juror mentioned, you know, that piece by name and said they didn't like it and they didn't think it was a good fit. You know, that does happen. So it's not an easy thing to discern, but it is, I think, an important reality for artists to be aware of and for artists to be conversant in what's going on in these juried shows. And there's so much more I could say about them because it's such a big thing going on right now. But I did say in a previous episode, I think it's interesting that commercial galleries are taking it up. I think juried shows are a much more natural fit in a lot of ways for nonprofit organizations and for member-based art associations, collaboratives, cooperatives, and that kind of thing. I think they're a much more natural fit for that because they fit into a nonprofit goal of community outreach and of bringing in new artists and of giving different artists exposure to audiences and stuff like that. In a commercial gallery setting, where typically there aren't cash prizes and the juror might just be the gallery owner or something like that, I think that they are a good revenue generator for galleries and can definitely sometimes lead to interesting opportunities for artists, and especially being in a situation where the goal is much more sales oriented, it can be good, but it can also be, there can be some drawbacks to that, because if a gallery is doing juried shows to make money, then maybe they aren't connecting art with collectors necessarily. So there are sort of two sides to everything. But I do think it's important for artists to understand what's going on in the juried show world and to have a sense of what the possibilities are. There's so many places to find juried shows. If you've never applied to a juried show before, I would really suggest just starting with your local arts organizations, because I'll bet whatever region you live in, somebody is doing a juried show somewhere. And if not, a good resource is Call for Entry, which I mentioned. They have a website that lists a lot of juried shows. And you can also, you know, just find them by Googling, you know, juried shows in my area. You know, that's just as easy of a way to find them. Or check with your local gallery situation or your local state council on the arts to see what kinds of juried shows might be going on. Those are good places to find them. And talk to other artists you know and see what they're applying to. Where have they found success? What shows have they been frustrated by? I know some artists who will get into the same juried show every single year, even though the juror's different and the venue's different and the theme is different, and somehow they're able to get into it. And I don't know what that indicates. Maybe it does show that their work is really strong and they're able to impress different jurors from different backgrounds. That's one possibility. But I would say to take everything with a grain of salt. Like everything in the art industry, so much of it is subjective, and even though there are some qualities that everybody's looking for, specific jurors do have specific tastes, and specific taste can influence what they're picking and what they're putting in shows. And I would encourage people to keep an even keel about applying to these shows and not get too overly invested in getting into them or not, and be honest with yourself about what your work looks like and if it should be submitted to different shows and what types of shows might be the best fit for it. So I hope that overall that was a helpful introduction to juried shows. Whether you knew what went on in juried shows before or not, I hope that you found it helpful kind of review of some of the things, some of the issues that go on there. I will say, I apologize for the sirens that were going off in the last segment of it. I live near a hospital, not joking, and so just adds a little bit of excitement to this already very exciting podcast, I guess. And again, a couple housekeeping things are that, first of all, on October 25th, I'll be talking in Boston at the Boston International Fine Arts Show about the relationship between galleries and artists and what the future of that might look like and how important that relationship is. On October 27th, I will be speaking at the annual meeting of the South County Art Association here in Rhode Island. I'll also be talking about galleries there and about gallery work, and they're looking at doing a renovation of their gallery space. So I'll be talking about sort of the physical aspects of galleries and some of the important things going on there. And then in January, I'm going to be returning to the Rhode Island School of Design to teach another writing intensive in their continuing education department. So those are just a few things I have coming up that I'm excited about. Like I said at the top of this episode, I do have a new blog post about one of my favorite Van Gogh paintings, so I hope you'll go take a look at that. And as always, if you have any ideas for content in these episodes, questions you have or problems you're dealing with, whether you're an artist or a gallery person or just interested in the arts and want to learn something about some issue that you are thinking about, please feel free to, you can message me on social media or you can email me any questions or ideas you have. And then also, if you are an artist in the New England area who might be interested in doing an interview on this podcast, you can let me know about that. That's something I'm hoping to add in the near future. So those are all just some things that are going on. And you can keep up with me on Instagram at Michael Rose Fine Art. You can also find me on Facebook. I have a professional page on Facebook that you can follow. And then you can always follow my website or sign up for my emails at michaelrosefineart.com. So I hope that you will be patient for my next episode, because this one took me a little while. I'm hoping to get back at it, though, so keep your eyes out for the next episode. But in the meantime, thank you for listening, and you'll hear from me soon. Thank you for listening to Fine Art Insights with Michael Rose.